Psalm 103. Famous one, one of the famous ones. A Psalm of David. Let's pray. Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. Lord, everybody's got a life going on right here. And I know that, you know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's easy, and we praise you for that. But, Lord, we know that we have our very breath because of you. We know that you're the one who's created us, given us life, given us eternal life. You're the one who sent your only Son. You're the one who forgives and draws us to yourself. And Lord, I just want to pray for those maybe that are getting so wrapped up with life, or maybe getting so wrapped up feeling sorry for themselves, that maybe they would lift up their eyes and see you, and maybe from this psalm learn how much they have. So, Lord, would you please teach us tonight, teach us how much we have. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that David, as he's the one naturally who wrote this psalm, it says so, but, you know, David was the king, and it would seem that the king would be a pretty happy guy because he's the king after all, you know. But he didn't have the happiest, go-luckiest life, and things were difficult for David. And yet what David had the uncanny ability to do was to set his focus on the Lord, to set his hopes on the Lord. And if at times he was unable to do it, he would tell himself to do it. And that's what verse 1 is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's talking about bless the Lord. In the NIV, it says praise the Lord. Something about blessing the Lord. You talk about blessing, as the scriptures tell us, that it is always the greater that blesses the lesser. And as it was with Melchizedek blessing Abraham in chapter 14. Is it 14? Of Genesis. And this isn't a blessing like that. We're gonna bless you, God. We're gonna give you a blessing, you know, go on your way. No, this is a word that means to thank, to praise, to give your attention to the Lord. And the thing is that when we do give our attention to the Lord, when we praise him, when we love on him, that does bless him. Remember, he's our Father. We are his children, and all you parents know, there's nothing like a kid who is giving you their full attention. And even greater when you're a grandparent and you have the little grandkids giving you their full attention. It absolutely destroys me in a good way. And I think that God likes us so much, he is indeed blessed by our attention to him. Because, you know, don't forget, you know, because sometimes I know we feel like that redheaded stepchild, and I know if you're redheaded or you're a stepchild, I'm not bagging on you. I'm just saying that, I'm just saying that, that is so funny. Hi, Shayla. So, oh my gosh, I want to laugh so hard. But we do, we come before the Lord sometimes and we feel like just because we are who we are and we fail, we don't do so good at this. We may be okay at this, but not so good at this. And that God's up there keeping some kind of score with us. And that we come to the Lord and say, hi, I know you don't like me or anything, but you know, will you bless me? No, he loves it when we come to him. He likes you, he loves you. And so here is David. We don't know his situation at this time, but we do know that he begins this with talking to himself. Go to the Lord, bless the Lord, praise the Lord. Go to him. And not just with lip service. As it reads in Isaiah, and Jesus would quote from Isaiah, these people draw near to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. You don't go to the Lord and just say, praise you, Lord, praise you, Lord. A lot of times we just think the words are enough, but David understands that it must be all that is within him. Everything about him. And I think about this, and I think that y'all maybe experience this too, that when I am in prayer, I sometimes... Man, doesn't it just feel like empty words? Doesn't it just feel like you're just saying words and not even realizing the truth that the Lord is indeed there with you? And I think maybe it's because sometimes our hearts get somewhat detached. And it's a good idea to go to him when you feel like you're even not making that connection. Go to him anyway. But I would encourage that we would do what David is doing, to tell ourselves, well, wait a minute. Praise the Lord with your whole heart. Lord, whatever it is that's in the way right now, wherever my head is, where I'm thinking about, just help me, Lord, to just praise you and to see you and to bless you, to thank you. And one of the ways to do that is to forget not all his benefits. One of the things that I can't stop thinking about ever since I just stood up here tonight is the first three chapters of Ephesians, where Paul tells us all of the things that the Lord has given us and who we are in him, who he is, all of this incredible glory. And in the teaching of that, it was a funny thing that reminded me of when I was a little boy, 5 years old, and we drove up to the grandparents' house for Christmas. And, you know, we had our Christmas at our house. Now there's going to be more loot at the grandparents' house. And man, my mom and dad just hammered us. They said, don't count the presents. Don't count the presents. Because they would pile them all around us. Just we're little kids. We're cute. We're grandkids. And it wasn't much of a problem for me. I wasn't a very good counter anyway. But I remember looking at the presents piled around me going, don't count. Don't count. Because counting them was an evil thing to do. But God, he wants you, as it would, as we've heard, to count your blessings. He wants you and me to see every benefit that he's given us. Because when we start looking at these things, we are then brought to a place where the very insides of us will indeed bless the Lord. But if we're not thinking about all that he has done, if our head is somewhere else, and maybe our head is in something like our own trouble right now, and we know that God is supposed to be powerful enough to get us out of there, so we'll talk to him a little bit. But it is so Philippians chapter 4. It is whatever is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and praiseworthy of good report. All of these things. As we meditate on these things that the Lord has given us, then we'll see him clearly. And then deep within our souls, we will be blessing him. Forget not all his benefits. Benefits. I love this because it's, you think of it as a benefit package. Oh, I just got a job. Good. And they got lots of benefits, right? And it's like, you've got your insurance, you got this, you got this, you got this, and it's pretty cool. And so when you see the word benefits, it kind of gives you that picture, but it's better than that even. And I have my recording software has a lot of benefits. Bridget and Tracy were talking about their cameras. Somebody asked them, do you know how to use those things all the way? Do you know everything about them? And they both go, well, no. Because there's a lot of benefits There's a lot of things it can do that they have not yet found. There are a zillion things in my recording equipment that I have not even touched. And as I continue to record, I go, oh, look at that. I can do that. Now, our walk with the Lord and who God is, as we grow, we learn more and more about Him. Think about that. A camera is just a thing. Software is just a thing. God is bigger than the universe, created all things. And we will spend a lifetime learning of His benefits. Wonderful benefits. Here are some. Forgives all your iniquities. Woo, like we talked about this morning, you owe nothing. God forgives us. And we have sinned against Him, and the wages of sin is death, but He forgives us. You are forgiven. Who heals all your diseases. Now, we know, as we look at the scriptures in their entirety, that if you take this verse by itself, you can say that anytime you get a disease, then God must heal it because His word says. And that if you can't get it healed, then you don't have enough faith, or God's just not as big as He said He is. But understand that what this is saying is that every time you and I get sick, or we get hurt, or something bad happens to our body, and we recover, guess who did that? Because when we are healed from our diseases, that's God who did it. I don't care if it was some special medication and you needed that medication. Who created the medication? And besides, what is it about, there are a few things I can't stop thinking about. One of them is Bob Scott laying there in the bed with his mulched legs. They wrapped him up. They did what they could. And you know, the way God made our bodies, all of the right cells are going to the right places, and it's creating the scar tissue, and it's creating stuff, and it's putting itself back together. God is doing that. He made our bodies that way. God heals all our diseases. And the ones that you didn't get healed, and then you keep going, two things I have to say about that. Number one, as Paul's thorn in the flesh, the Lord may have you endure through some sort of a physical malady so that you remain weak before Him, so that He would be strong. And the other thing is that you have some kind of a malady and it lasts all the way till the day you die. The day you die, you're healed. So you do get healed of all of it. Who redeems your life from destruction. The narrow path leads to life and the wide path leads to destruction. We were on that path. You know, some people got saved and they weren't in the middle of destruction. A lot of us got saved and we were right in the middle of destruction. But some people get saved and they just come to realize that the road they're on leads to destruction. And I like the word redeems here, because to redeem means to buy or to pay a ransom. And as far as Israel was concerned, they use that term over and over again, but I don't think they had any clue that they're prophesying of God redeeming with His blood, giving His life as a ransom. And so I believe it was all so much bigger than David was thinking. Now, consider the love of God, that He would redeem you with His life, that He would lay His own life down so that you and I did not have to, so that we would not have to be destroyed. not only did he redeem our life, then he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Crowning you, of course, that speaks of royalty, but I'm not so sure that the picture is necessarily that, you know, we become kings and priests and such, but rather that something wonderful happens in the life of any person when they know they are loved. When the Lord has redeemed us, we know that he loves us. His loving kindness, his tender mercies, his compassion for us, all of these things, it gives us a confidence. And I know that for all of the people, I was thinking in terms of teaching little kids or up high school age and all of that, when they know the teacher loves them, they'll do anything. They'll do anything. And it's like a crown. It's like, hey, I am beloved, you know. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Read all kinds of stuff about how eagles will they'll molt, or they'll even, you know, go into fall into the water, and it looks like they're dead, and then they'll just come right back out and like they're brand new again. But I didn't hardly understand anything I was reading. I think about Isaiah chapter 40, talking about those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And they'll rise up like eagles. All this is that, you know what? You're going to be strong like an eagle. Why? Because the Lord satisfies your mouth with good things. Not just to say that he feeds you, but as some translations actually say, it satisfies your desires. And it's not just about the satisfying of the desires, the satisfying of the flesh, or giving you the sandwich that you desire, but rather when we are satisfied, that's when we are the strongest. And as you remember Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a wonderful place to be in where truly you are satisfied just being a Christian. Wow. It's then we're going to be strong. When we start thinking that God is not enough, then look out. We're going to be weak and mopey and all kinds of things. So these are a few of the benefits. He gives us satisfaction, contentment. He forgives us. He pours out his loving kindness on us. He bought us. He heals us. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He sees the weak. He sees those who seem to be being cheated by this world, and those who really are being cheated by this world. And it looks like the world's getting away with it, and they just keep taking it. But God sees it, and he will execute righteousness. And he will judge. And it's all going to come out right. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. We get that from chapter 34 of Exodus. I think it's great that these two verses are together, because as he made known to Moses is when Moses came to the end of himself, when this whole ministry thing wasn't nearly what it was cracked up to be. And he just said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And then God said, you can't see that, but I'll let you see my back. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll pass by, put my hand over you. And then you could see what I've left behind here, you know. And then as he did that, the Lord proclaimed his name. And it was verse 8, partly. The Lord is merciful and gracious. That means he is, he gives mercy. He doesn't give us what we deserve, but also merciful, meaning compassionate. He cares about us. You know, God actually feels sorry for us when we're hurting. And he's gracious. He pours his grace out on us. He poured his grace out on us before Jesus came. He poured his grace out on Israel. He gave them, well, all of these benefits. You say, well, how could he do that since Jesus had yet to be crucified and so that now we can have that? Well, the fact is, for all of the grace that God poured out on Israel in those days, there was still payment that needed to be made. And so Jesus did make the payment for all that the Lord poured out on them. Remember, the law was given, and they were saying, hey, we can do this. But the law was really given to prove to them that they can't do it and that they need grace. But even throughout the Old Testament, God poured out his grace on Israel before the grace had been paid for. But it had to be paid for, so Jesus had to go to the cross. And so he's merciful, he's gracious, slow to anger. Isn't that awesome? He'd be so mad at most of us all the time. Some of y'all are quick to anger. Sometimes I'm quick to anger. And wouldn't it be horrible if God were like any one of us? Oh, geez. But the Lord is slow to anger. He's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. It says in the old King James, chide with us, and just to like punish us. Nor will he keep his anger forever. As Israel, while they received grace, they also received much chastisement. God would give them over to the Assyrians, give them over to Babylonians, have them lose, in David's day, have them lose battles against the Philistines. They weren't supposed to do any of that, but God had told them in Leviticus chapter 26, look, if you don't walk with me, you're going to lose battles. And I will do to you what I was to do to your enemies. And so here David is just making mention of that. Sometimes the Lord's spanking us. We totally deserve it. But it's not always going to be this way. And then in verse 10, he's not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Look, he hasn't killed us. He hasn't snuffed us out. That's a pretty good benefit. I can't remember which psalm it was. That if, Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Nobody. God has not dealt with any of us according to our sin. For as high as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. This is the third time we see about his mercy, but understand something. The first part of this is as the heavens are high above the earth. Now, remember in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours. And it was to remind Israel and to remind you and me that God's got plans that are so far beyond our ability to grasp. But he used the same language. David used the same language here as in Isaiah chapter 55 to describe his mercy. And that, think about how far and wide and high the universe is. As the heavens are high above the earth. That is how great his mercy is. In other words, however merciful you think God is, multiply that by infinity. He's way more merciful than you and I think, than we have the ability to think. And there will come an end to his mercy. There will come an end to his patience. We know that with this world. But the fact is this, the Lord is long-suffering and he is, he's not like us. A lot of times when we've lost our patience finally, God has, God's got a much greater amount of patience. He's got a lot more to go. I'm just kind of reminding myself right now, for sometimes some people, and I get impatient, and I say, God's probably had it with that guy. Fact, God has not had it with that guy. I don't care what guy you're thinking of right now. If he's still breathing, God's mercy has not run out. And if we think it ought to run out, then we make ourselves greater than God. So, now that's just in terms of like looking at other people, because we like to look at other people because it makes our lives easier. We like to look at everybody else's sins and say, I can't believe God hasn't snuffed him. But I think it's a much greater thing to take verse 11 and apply it to ourselves. And the fact that verse 10 is true in our lives. And verse 11 is necessary in our lives. For those who fear him, that would be those who obey the Lord and are more concerned with pleasing the Lord than with pleasing people. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I think that is still the funniest thing. I'll say it again. Why didn't it say, as far as the north is from the south? And I still don't know how this works. Maybe one of you brainiacs can clue me in. All you, really smart people with your high IQs can let me know. Don't let me know right now. Let me know this week. Come by the office and explain it to me. Because I really don't understand this. But the reason it says, as far as the east is from the west, is because that is an infinite distance. But from the north is from the south, it is finite. If you get a globe and draw a line going from north to south and keep going, suddenly you're going north again. If you draw a line going east, you're always going east. That's a weird miracle that I can't understand, and you guys can explain it to me later. Some of you are going, Kevin, that's just stupid. No, it's weird. How come you can go north and you're going south, now you're going north, south, north, go this way, east. Don't, you explain it later. Remember, I said later, come to the office later on another day. But the point being is that it's gone. Your sins are gone. Why do you keep bringing them up? I tell you what, I know the devil will sit on your shoulder and say, and remind you of stuff you did when you were 12. He'll remind you that, I get hammered over things that happened 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Or even last week. but it is as far as the east is from the west, as far as God is concerned. It's done. It's over. It never happened. That's a pretty good benefit. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Oh, that's so good to know. He knows we're weak. He knows we're sinners. He knows we're not very good at this. Therefore, he is patient with us and pities as a father pities his children. I think as a child is growing up and a child fails, I don't know, well, there are some rotten parents, I guess, who expect their 5-year-old to behave like a 30-year-old. I think about my little girls growing up, and I have, there are instances in their lives that took place where it still hurts me. Thinking about something they experienced or something that happened. And these are not even like big deal things. But I pity them. And the Lord looks at you and me and he says, I know you're trying. And I know that you're just a person. And I think a lot of times, you know, throughout the Word, we see that bar of righteousness up here. And we're reaching and reaching and reaching. And then you just feel like a loser. And you bring your loser self to the Lord and say, I know you don't like me anymore, but he does like you. He pities you. He knows. He knows you're weak. He knows what you're made of. He knows what you're made of more than you know what you're made of. It's so, you know, it's amazing. You know, every time that you fail, every time we fail, we feel like we've really let God down. Oh, God, I've let you down. Well, God knew you were going to fail. God knew what was inside of you. You're the only one who didn't know. And now that it's out of the bag, you've not let God down. God is just saying, okay, now we all know who you are. I've known. I liked you all along. I know who you are, and I still like you. We need to get that through our thick skulls. That we are not performing for the Lord in order for him to like us. He did the performance. He liked us before we were born. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so, he pities us like his own children. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows we're knuckleheads. And I'm glad. You know, if walking with the Lord is a burden to you, well, as Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If walking with the Lord seems heavy to you, that's not the Lord's yoke. That's a yoke you made. And there are times in my walk with the Lord, I've had to realize that, wow, Lord, I'm laying a trip on myself that you never intended to lay on me. Because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. It's always good to remember. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. It's gone. That's the way man is. Now, the reason this is being said here is to contrast, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. His point here is that we wouldn't be running to man to get mercy from man. We wouldn't be running to man to get compassion or answers or, let's see, or all those benefits like forgiveness, healing, redemption, crowns, loving kindness, tender mercies, to be satisfied. And yet we are often on a quest to get man to take care of us. And David reminds us, no, you know what? Every person here that you thought was going to hold you up, they're just about as good as you are. And that's about it. And so, the Lord's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. That is forevermore. And notice, on those who fear him, those who are with him, those who belong to him, keep his covenant. His covenant. That was kind of funny because nobody could keep the covenant, right? You and I have the new covenant. The new covenant in his blood. And the commandment to love one another. According to God's definition of love, not yours and not mine. According to God's definition of love. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And this is great. Look at David starts this, sitting there by himself, talking to himself, saying, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. And he has worked this prayer all the way up into glory. He has worked it all the way to the very throne in heaven and God's kingdom over the whole earth. Verse 20, bless the Lord, you angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. As the angels obey the Lord, as we pray, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your new kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wouldn't it be great if you and I were as obedient as the angels? Well, here at David's, now he just sees God on his throne, and he goes, oh yeah, there's angels all over the place, as the Ark of the Covenant was crafted with the angels over the mercy seat, and so it was to tell Israel that the angels were with God. And then we see in Isaiah with the, you know, the seraphim flying all over the place when God is there on his throne. And we see angels all over the Old and New Testament. And so David, thinking of God on the throne, said, oh man, and he is surrounded by angels. Oh, well, hey, while I've been telling myself to bless the Lord, now, hey, you angels, you guys do it. Bless the Lord, praise him. You who are there in his presence, bless him, praise him. 21, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, to do his pleasure. Hosts is really like armies. All you his armies. I think verse 21 is sort of that poetic thing, like just like verse 20, just saying it in a different way. The heavenly hosts, ministers, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, the angels are ministers for those who. Inherit salvation. Yeah. Those are God's ministers. And so verse 21, still speaking of the angels. But 21 can speak to you and me. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts. You in the army. We in God's army or what? Well, then bless the Lord. Praise him. And if it's just words, then talk to yourself about that. Tell yourself what a problem that is. That it's just words. But we, as the army, us ministers of His, those of us who do His pleasure, praise Him. It's not enough just to do what God has us do, but to actually have a relationship with Him. I think about the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. It's like everything was done right. Everything they did was right. Their doctrine was squeaky clean, and everything just looked great. But they had left their first love, because it was all doctrine without devotion. You and I need daily to talk to the Lord, spend time with Him. If it kills you, which first two verses here are wonderful. Come to Him with those first two verses, because you're not feeling it, man. I can relate. Man, get up in the morning. This is my time. I'm going to get together with the Lord. And Lord, I say, I'm totally not here. I'm totally not here. Well, get there. Get there. And I think we can. If we're just willing to fight through that, as David did. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Anything I've left out, David would say. All of creation, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As it was in the beginning of this psalm, he ends it this way, but I can't help but think he's feeling it now. Are you troubled? Yes, you have problems. Yes, there are things not going very well. But do as David did. Look at everything God has given you. Get your eyes off of what He hasn't given you. And look at everything He has given you. And understand that some of the things that He hasn't given you that you deserve, well, like death, hell, separation from Him forever, He has not given you those things. But instead, He's given you loving kindness and mercy. He has provided everything you need, and He's given you and me every opportunity to be absolutely satisfied. Because He is our shepherd, and we shall not want. God's been good to you and me, gang. He's been really, really good. Even if you have been really, really bad, God is still really, really good. I'm so happy. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to thank Him. We're going to ask the Lord to help us to thank Him from our hearts and not just from our faces. And that we would experience His presence. And that we would give Him what He deserves. And that we would bless Him tonight. All right? Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for reminding us of all the benefits. Not even all the benefits. Lord, we are learning more and more of the benefits. Thank You for Your grace. I know, Lord, that I'm learning more and more of Your grace the longer I walk with You. And it is truly an amazing thing. Pour out Your grace on Your people, Lord, whatever may be happening or not happening. Lord, You know where to meet each one of us, exactly where. And I ask You that You would hold us still so that we would be able to meet with You. and that we wouldn't run from this. Thank you, Lord. We love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.